Let me begin in the casual tone this morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
There you go. Looking around, I see a lot of colors. And here's something I'd like everybody to do before we go any farther. Is that first of all, I'd like you to take a look at the Easter lilies. Then we're going to take just a few moments and take this sheet out and just glance down through that to just pay a little bit of respect, especially for those people who are being remembered today with the lilies that are here. So it's on both sides, number of lilies, but they represent most of them in memory and a few in honor. So just take the time and peruse that for a moment. And then I have one more surprise for you this morning before we begin formally. I'd like everybody to stand. Those that can. If you can't, just stay seated. That's all right. All right. Now it's Easter. We're not having a fellowship time afterwards because so many people have obligations of family, and that's a wonderful thing. So now is our opportunity to do what we normally do in the Friendship Center, and that's just take an opportunity to greet one another. Hit it, Deanne. And now we can go back to a little bit of normalcy. You can have take your seats. Abnormal can be good, though, right? So the peace of the risen Christ be with you all as we welcome the beloved community who've gathered in person and online. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, a fabulous one, our production engineer who produces our Facebook live stream and every service here, and which will be available today in recorded form immediately following the service by accessing our website. That happens every week. So just so you're aware, if you or someone else, or those of you that are watching online and want to encourage someone else to watch the service, that is always available. Our full complement of musicians are ready to go, as you can see, including the bell and chancel choirs under the direction of our Minister of Music, Barb Fuller, with accompanist Deanne McCormick, and our liturgists today are Nate Jones and Pastor Marjorie Briggs. For our visitors today, we treasure your presence and hope you enjoy today's Easter service. Please familiarize yourself with our worship protocol and mission statement during the service because you have given us the gift of your presence, and it is also a gift to God. So we do not pass offering plates here on Easter or any other time during the morning service, but if you have come prepared with a financial offering today, as always, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. And as always, again, thank you for your caring and sharing, which you do so faithfully. And again, there'll be no coffee hour. I hope most of you have an opportunity to be with family and or friends. Once again, happy Easter. Today's sermon title and worship theme is Good News in a Bad News World, taken from one of the four gospel accounts of the resurrection. Today it's Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. Let us now worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower. I want you to know that Sue Baldwin and I, we sat in the Friendship Center this morning, and we saw a ray of sunshine out this window. And we kept praying and hoping and believing that it was going to come and visit us. But while the weather didn't cooperate, nothing will take away the joy of being together today, especially as we gather on the most special Sunday of the year. Happy Easter. Even as we gather in a world shaped by anxious headlines and weary divisions, we come this Easter morning to listen for a deeper story, the quiet, persistent, good news that life is still breaking through, that healing is still unfolding, that even in places of loss and uncertainty, something new is rising. And so we open our hearts to the promise that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God is not finished with this world, and neither are we. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and life-giving God, we gather this day carrying both the weight of the world and the quiet hope of Easter, aware of the headlines that trouble us, the divisions that weary us, and the suffering that so many endure, yet also drawn by a deeper promise that life is still breaking through. Open our eyes to see the signs of your renewing work around us and within us. Soften our hearts where they have grown tired or guarded, and awaken in us a faith that is not naive but courageous, willing to trust that even now you are bringing light out of darkness and life out of all that feels lost. As we sing, pray, listen, and reflect, center us in the risen presence of Jesus Christ, that we may be renewed in hope, strengthened in compassion, and sent into the world as bearers of your good news and empowered by your command to love one another. We pray this in the name of our risen Lord. Amen.
To our This morning, as we proclaim the good news that Christ is risen, we are invited to let that news take flesh in our lives, not only in what we say, but in what we do. Our gifts this morning become more than offerings. They are signs that we are choosing to live as people of the resurrection, investing in hope where there is despair, practicing generosity in a world shaped by scarcity, and aligning our lives with the renewing work of God. So let us give, not out of obligation, but as a meaningful response to the risen life of Jesus Christ. Committing ourselves to be participants in the good news, we proclaim as we now offer to God our time, our talents, our treasures, and our hearts. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God of surprising life, on this Easter morning we come with hearts that are a curious mix. Some of us hopeful, some of us weary, some of us ready to sing Alleluia, and some of us still standing quietly at the tomb, wondering what comes next. And yet, for all of us, O Lord, you meet us here. Not waiting for us to have perfect faith, but meeting us in our questions, our laughter, and sometimes our uncertainty, and gently reminding us that resurrection does not depend on us getting it right, but on your love refusing to give up on any of us. So we give thanks this day for signs of life we might have missed, for small resurrections unfolding all around us, for moments of kindness, even as we walked in the door this morning, for healing, for courage, and joy that whispers to us that the story is not over. And still, O God, we do not forget the world as it is. So we pray for places where war continues and peace feels distant, for communities divided by fear and mistrust, for those burdened by illness, grief, or uncertainty, and for all who wake this day not to celebration, but to struggle. Hold them in your mercy. Strengthen all of those who work for justice. Comfort those who mourn, and where hope feels buried, begin again your quiet work of rising. And perhaps, O God, give us just enough Easter faith to believe that even we might be a part of that work, that in our small acts of compassion, in our stubborn commitments to love no matter what, and in our willingness to begin again, we too might become signs of resurrection in this world. Now, in these moments of shared prayer, we also remember and speak the names of those close to our hearts, those in need of healing, hope, or peace. Lord, take these names and each person and gather them in your love. And gather all of our prayers this morning, spoken and unspoken, into the one prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. If you're expecting a familiar Easter ending, you may be in for a surprise. Unlike the other Gospels, there are no appearances of the risen Christ here, no joyful reunions, no triumph resolution. Christ here, instead, we find an empty tomb, a startling message, and a group of women who flee in fear and silence. It is the shortest, most abrupt of all the resurrection accounts. So abrupt, in fact, that it seems unfinished, as if the story pauses, waiting, not for a neat conclusion, but for us. Hear now these words. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, help me to put a little Easter zip into this sermon. Amen. That wasn't you expected, did you, Lorraine? Somebody who watches online, who happens to be related to me, mentions, he said, you never know what surprises might be coming from you. So if that was offensive, Lorraine, I'm very sorry about that. Well, it doesn't take long, does it? You turn on the news, scroll your phone, and there it comes. Wars with no end. And let's not forget about Ukraine, get that one right. Political division that feels unbridgeable. A climate that feels unstable. A sense that things are unraveling. And maybe what's most dangerous is not fear, but fatigue. We've been conditioned to expect bad news. We assume decline, and we quietly believe that nothing really changes. Then, here on Easter Sunday morning, comes this strange, defiant proclamation: Christ is risen. Now, most of us have been to Easter services all our lives, and so with that, you might think, oh, we've heard this before. We know the hymns by heart, some of them. The choir, the handbells, the organ, and the piano have been and are in full-on mode today. The congregation sings with more gusto than usual, and you sounded good. The Lenten banner is now the Easter banner. And the lilies so beautifully adorn the sanctuary and mysteriously connect us to those whose names are in the bulletin today that we remember. Now, I admit the weather is not at all like we would have really liked. But yes, where are you, Nate? Where'd Nate go? There he is. We did see a little sunshine this morning. The traditions of Easter mean a lot to all of us, right? It's part of the reason we're here today, as well as any other Sunday. We would be grossly disappointed if the traditions were absent. And yet, Christ is risen can be a hollow declaration. So ask the question, what difference will anything that happens here today stay with us when we leave? Nice sermon, Pastor. Love the music, Barb. Now, don't get me wrong. We love to hear those things. But can Easter be more than a sacred once-a-year tradition with a hope that life will not end for us in the grave? That's kind of what Easter's all about. We think, you know, when we die, it's not the end. Well, our story is rooted in the gospel accounts. Now, we can't make them say more than they do. The resurrection itself is not narrated in the scriptures. The Gospels renounce all speculative interest in attempting to describe the mystery of resurrection. The resurrection happens offstage. The Gospels proclaim, but they do not observe. The details of each of the four accounts are widely divergent. Same story, but lots of different details, sometimes contrasting. And some would say they don't fit very well. There are no two gospels that agree on any one or two of the details. And harmonizing the various accounts has been tried, but difficult. And in my humble opinion, it is ill-advised. Why? Because the writers of each gospel mediated some dimension of Easter faith based on their own perspective. And if you spend a lot of time, whether it's in seminary or whether it's just studying what preachers study, sometimes I would say you just can't miss that. But I would like to offer you some of my own theological understanding of the Easter story. First, resurrection faith does not depend on physical evidence because there was none. Second, resurrection is not the same thing as merely believing in resuscitation. Lazarus, Jesus' friend, was resuscitated. Jesus was resurrected. Third, believing in resurrection is not identical with simply affirming the historical factuality of any of the resurrection stories. Fourth, the resurrection is not merely the happy ending of an almost tragic story of Jesus, like a postscript. The whole story of Jesus is about resurrection. Fifth, faith in the resurrection includes doubt and uncertainty. And in some way, I would say it's a necessary part of the story. It's in each of the gospel accounts. Faithful people, doubting, skeptical, and as we heard this morning, fearful and amazed. Last, our celebrations, as beautiful, dramatic, and glorious as they are, and they should be, do not mirror the gospel accounts, nor should they. The first Easter morning did not feel like victory, as we heard today. The women carried spices, which meant they were not expecting resurrection. They were expecting death to stay dead. And they ask, who will roll away the stone for us? When they arrived, the stone had already been moved. The tomb was empty, and a messenger, we don't know who it is, says, he has been raised. He is not here. And then what was their response? They went out and fled, for terror and amazement had seized them. Fear, not certainty, triumph, not clarity, because the resurrection doesn't arrive as proof. Resurrection is disruption. And if we're honest, that's how God has always worked. In Genesis 1, life emerges out of chaos. In Exodus 14, a path opens through the sea only after the people step forward. In Ezekiel 37, dry bones do not look like life until the breath of God enters them. And in John 20, Mary mistakes the risen Christ for a gardener. What if we, who know the story, could take the spirit of resurrection into a world where stones can still be rolled away? With that, let's take the Easter story and message a little farther than just a special worship service today. With all the doubt, fear, and uncertainty surrounding the first Easter, good news is rarely noticed because it doesn't sell very well. There's a lot of good news out there, but it doesn't sell. Bad news sells. That's why if you turn on the half hour on whatever channel you like to watch, you're going to get most of the bad news until the last 2 minutes. They reserve for a little good news sometimes. Resurrection faith, however, will be noticed when Easter is not so much an event, but a lifestyle, a mission, and a hope that the story becomes glory as we grow into purveyors of good news that transcends our lofty proclamations in church. So let's not wait another year to proclaim it. Instead, let's live it. A great truth of resurrection is that God has a bias for life. Let's admit it. It is much desired to live a long, full life. That's why we get on our exercise bicycles when we're in our 70s and 80s and sometimes beyond. It's why we take blood pressure medicine. It's why we try to control our cholesterol. We could go on and on and on, and I think there would be similar stories among all of us here that living a long, full life is desirable. And I can tell you this, it is always tragic when a child or a young person dies, regardless of the circumstances. And the only way I can process that is to believe Jesus when he told us that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. I think that's one of the most misunderstood statements of Jesus, that basically he tells us we live in a randomly ordered universe. But belief, a world where random events occur and they do not discriminate. But belief in the resurrection can change the odds in the favor of God's bias for life. And there are many examples, and I'd like to give them to you. some of them. A few weeks ago, I included a whole list of good news, and I never got so much reaction on a sermon as anything I've ever preached here at Mayflower, so I thought I'd sprinkle it in here this morning. What better day to talk about good news? Are you ever inspired when you see the children on television and their parents at the St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis, along with the Shriner Hospital Network, who treat children for no charge and provide housing for the parents, offering hope for healing? It's amazing. That is why I am happy to share the good news that, listen to this, a groundbreaking in utero treatment for spina bifida, which improves children's mobility before they are even born, is underway. I was hoping that Jen Hall could be here, and Jen, I hope you're listening today. But Jen, you know, was born with spina bifida, and she was very much aware of this news. And even though she was born many years, decades ago, she rejoiced in that kind of good news for those in the future who will be born with a disease like that. A new life-changing drug is helping children with a rare type of epilepsy to live happier and healthier lives, where children with that disease had up to a 91% fewer seizure rate of being administered the new drug. New cancer therapies and immunotherapies are being described as the golden age of treatment, with survival rates steadily increasing. I have a cousin that got cancer 40 years ago, and what he went through was awful. He made it. But for the same disease today, you take a pill, and in 3 days, you're good. It is amazing. Gene therapy and rare disease treatments are now curing conditions once thought incurable. Scientists are developing, listen to this, universal vaccines that could protect against multiple diseases at once. How would you like to go get one instead of going and getting your COVID and then your RSV and then your flu? And the list goes on and on. It seems like I'm making those trips down to the drugstore all the time, where those wonderful pharmacists, Roger, I hope you're listening, do their thing. Researchers are using virtual reality to help amputees train for prosthetics, restoring independence and dignity to human life. Where bodies have been broken, healing is quietly rising. Resurrection is not abstract. It is echoed every time life is restored where there was no hope. Even in the midst of climate anxiety, the earth is not simply collapsing. In places around the world, forests are returning. The rate of the decimation of rainforests has been drastically reduced. Wildlife is reappearing in places where it had vanished, and sometimes they're finding what they thought were extinct species that have reappeared. And cities are rediscovering ancient ways to cool and sustain life, and I love this one. Anybody ever here been to Seville, Spain? Okay, it's one of the hottest cities in Europe, and they are blending modern science with ancient technology as the city is installing underground aqueducts to help keep itself cool. Water is cooled underground in naturally low temperatures. When waters peak during the day, or temperatures peak during the day, the cool water ascends up to just below the surface to counteract the heat. And then outdoors, the mist from that cool water is sprayed to lower the temperature through evaporation. Ancient technology, but modern application. Renewable energy continues expanding rapidly, strengthening the global shift away from fossil fuels. When I see those huge windmills, and sometimes there's controversy with that, but they produce electricity, I shall forever think of it when I see those big windmills, the breath of God, breathing resurrection into the depleting world of fossil fuels, at an ever-increasing cost for the fuels, less cost for the renewable energy. Scientists are discovering carbon-absorbing fungi and new ecological solutions that could help stabilize entire climate systems. Even in a wounded creation, the earth holds many resources to heal itself. Resurrection does not escape from creation, but is a renewal within it. Most of you know I was a tour guide at Mount Rainier National Park, but what you may not know is I went down several times, sometimes with groups, to Mount St. Helens. And most of you will remember in 1980, on May the 18th, that mountain blew, and in a very sparsely populated area, 57 people were killed in a matter of about 7 minutes. And the scientists told us that it would be hundreds of years before that area recovered. You know what happened in 20 years? I went down and saw it myself. There was a 200-square-mile area where not one of those big Douglas fir trees was left standing. But over time, they became nurse logs, and the little trees began to grow, and the fish came back in the stream, and the elk and the deer came back in. And in 20 years, now it's been 50, it's amazing the renewal of life the earth has within it. The energy of resurrection. Scientists have discovered how to turn methane gas into medicine. Even human creativity, so often misused, is being directed toward life. Resurrection means nothing is beyond redemption, not even what once harmed us. How about some rare good news regarding, believe it or not, bipartisan legislation? We don't hear about this, but a genuinely human-centered bipartisan effort in Congress called the Hospital Inpatient Services Modernization Act extends programs that allow patients to receive hospital-level care at home, lowering costs and putting less strain on hospitals. Those of you who take insulin are aware that the Insulin Act, which caps insulin costs for many Americans, at just $35 a month, which may be a lot for some, but a lot less than it was. The Housing for the 21st Century Act made it out of committee in the House, believe it or not, with overwhelming bipartisan support, and the vote was 50-1 in committee. That will expand the housing supply, reduce regulatory barriers, and address affordability. We Michiganders should be aware that bipartisan legislation reauthorized funding for monitoring and protecting the Great Lakes Basin. We depend on it. It's the water for the world, the largest freshwater basin in the entire world. A great move for all of us who are concerned about the environment, especially in our own backyard. Well, we often hear that nothing gets done in Congress, and yet, quietly and under the radar, beneath the headlines, people who disagree are still finding ways to work together for the sake of life. If resurrection means anything, it means that even where division seems final, even where hope seems buried, something new can still emerge. Even in one of the most divided institutions in our country, there are still signs, quiet and imperfect, yes, but real, that cooperation, compassion, and common good are not dead. Hallelujah. Even in systems we distrust, there are quiet resurrections of justice, safety, and compassion. In the area of conservation and wildlife, there have been amazing things happening, much of it under the radar. Species once thought of as extinct are reappearing. And you know, I've often heard that how we treat animals reflects a lot of our relationship to God. Scientific breakthroughs like in vitro fertilization for endangered species are helping rescue animals from the brink of extinction. Conservation efforts globally are restoring ecosystems once considered beyond saving. Resurrection language is this: what was dead is alive again. What is lost has been found. In the area of science and technology, human ingenuity is becoming life-giving. And here's a big one. Indulge me, folks. I love this stuff. Advances in AI, quantum computing, and something, and I'll have to ask you about this after the service, Doc, mRNA technologies are opening entirely new possibilities for human flourishing. Let me share with you a little research that I've done in the last couple of weeks about this. mRNA messenger is called ribonucleic acid. And even though the technology is being around, it has been around for a while, it is being used now to dramatically reduce the time and cost of developing vaccines which could treat multiple infectious diseases such as avian bird flu, all coronaviruses such as SARS and MERS, genital herpes, HIV, influenza, malaria, norovirus, tuberculosis, cystic fibrosis, and sickle cell anemia. These vaccines have the potential to eradicate countless other diseases, even cancer. Researchers are using this mRNA technology to modify liver genes, permanently reducing cholesterol levels and protecting against heart attack and stroke. If you're tired of using statins, maybe this will help. In news that positively affects the perspective in our family is that this technology has the potential to repair damaged lungs. The resurrection of Christ is not only something that happened, it is something that is happening in laboratories, in hospital rooms, in the environment, and in fragile political progress. Signs of life are emerging where we expected only endings. So here's how I want to close. Let me declare what I want the world to know, but I want you to know. Nowhere is the language, the reality, and the atmosphere of resurrection more known, more taught, more revealed than in the beloved community. Because we embrace a seed of love that was born in Bethlehem, germinated in the love of his parents, sprouted in the Sermon on the Mount, watered on the shores of Galilee, grew in the hearts of 12 followers, nurtured in the homes of sinners, matured in the stomachs of 5,000, weathered in the chants of the crowd, proved on the cross, bloomed at the resurrection, and spread like wildfire in the hearts of people like you and me. That's good news. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. save this one for the last. He is risen. Let's try that one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Would you look at that? We did it in less than an hour. Even on Easter Sunday with extra stuff. And what'd you say, Tom? Amen. Okay. And you know a strange thing about that here at Mayflower? Nobody has ever come up to me and said, you know, Pastor, I think we should have longer services. We can always improve, but maybe time isn't the way we want to improve in that direction. Regardless, it is 11:30. We've had this glorious hour with music. Thank you, choir and bells. Barb on the piano today. How about that? Yeah. Yeah. All right. And Deanne. Yeah. Little extra full on, as I mentioned before. So thanks for being here, folks. It means a lot to us this Sunday and any Sunday when you can be here. We also, of course, have online. So I want to give a shout out today to Roger and Mayor. We'll see you soon. And to our friends in Squim, Washington. And that would be Tom and Cindy. You folks mean a lot. Bless all of you. Happy Easter. Go in peace. Margie, you too. Marjorie. Okay. God bless you. You can stick around here as long as you want.
Did you say early this year?
Yeah. Was that?
Early.
Yes. That's true.